This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of medial ulnar collateral ligament injury from the shoulder and elbow section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Medial ulnar collateral ligament injuries are characterized by attenuation or rupture of the ulnar collateral ligament of the elbow, leading to valgus instability in overhead throwing athletes. Diagnosis is usually made by a combination of physical exam and MRI studies. Treatment for most individuals is rest and physical therapy. Surgery is reserved for high-level overhead athletes, such as pitchers. Now, let's get into the episode. With respect to epidemiology, as far as the incidence of medial ulnar collateral ligament injury, the literature shows increasing occurrence of UCL injuries and reconstructions, and is becoming more common among high school and amateur pitchers. In terms of demographics, overhead athletes who place significant valgus stress on their elbows are at increased risk of medial ulnar collateral ligament injuries. This was originally described among javelin throwers, but is now much more common in baseball pitchers. Keep in mind that these injuries are relatively uncommon in skeletally immature throwing athletes. These patients will more often have little leaguer's elbow, which is a more common cause of medial elbow pain with decreased throwing effectiveness and distance. Risk factors for medial ulnar collateral ligament injury includes exceeding youth baseball pitch count and inning restrictions. Other risk factors include a higher pitch velocity and deficits along the kinetic chain, such as shoulder and core weakness, loss of shoulder motion, etc. Moving on to the etiology of medial ulnar collateral ligament injury, with respect to pathophysiology, the mechanism of injury can be from acute trauma, overuse, or iatrogenic. Acute trauma is often associated with elbow dislocations. Overuse injury is usually secondary to some biomechanical forces. For example, microtrauma from repetitive valgus stress leads to rupture of the anterior band of the medial UCL. Baseball pitchers place significant valgus stress on the elbow in the late cocking and early acceleration phase of throwing. Elbow valgus load increases with poor throwing mechanics and decreases with trunk scapular kinesis, forearm pronation, and dynamic flexor pronator stabilization. Know that valgus load is highest in the acceleration phase of throwing. Finally, moving on to iatrogenic causes of medial ulnar collateral ligament injury, know that excessive olecranon osteophyte resection places the MCL at risk. Associated conditions with medial ulnar collateral ligament injury includes traction-related ulnar neuritis, olecranon or postromedial impingement, and elbow arthritis. Now, let's go over some relevant anatomy, specifically the osseous structures, ligaments, and biomechanics. So starting with the osseous structures, know that the elbow is a complex hinge composed of ulnar humeral, radial capitellar, and radial ulnar joints, and it has a valgus carrying angle ranging from 6 to 11 degrees. As far as ligaments, let's talk about the medial ulnar collateral ligament, or the UCL, which is divided into three components: the anterior oblique ligament, the posterior oblique ligament, and the transverse ligament. So the anterior oblique ligament is the strongest and most significant stabilizer to valgus stress. This courses from the anteroinferior ridge on the medial epicondyle to 2.8 millimeters distal to the ulnar articular margin on the sublime tubercle. The anterior oblique ligament has a mean length of 54 millimeters. It then subdivides into anterior and posterior bands. The anterior band is a primary restraint to valgus stress, exhibiting nearly isometric strain during elbow range of motion. The posterior band exhibits increasing strain during higher degrees of elbow flexion. The posterior oblique ligament, or the posterior bundle, demonstrates the greatest change in tension from flexion to extension, and note that it is tighter in flexion. Finally, the transverse ligament has no contribution to stability. As far as biomechanics, know that elbow stability is evenly split between osseous and soft tissue structures. The UCL is the primary restraint to valgus stress from 30 to 120 degrees of flexion. The flexor pronator and joint capsule also contribute. Moving on to the presentation of medial ulnar collateral ligament injury, as far as the history, acute injuries may present with a pop associated with pain and difficulty throwing. Symptoms can include decreased throwing performance, specifically loss of velocity, as well as loss of control and accuracy, pain, specifically medial or posterior elbow pain during late cocking and acceleration phases of throwing, and know that many throwers also have posteromedial pain due to valgus extension overload felt during the deceleration phase. Finally, these patients may also have ulnar nerve symptoms, specifically paresthesias down the ulnar arm into the ring and small fingers. On physical exam, inspection may reveal tenderness along the elbow at or near the MCL origin. Note that posteromedial tenderness may be due to valgus extension overload. Be sure to evaluate the integrity of the flexor pronator mass and evaluate for the presence of a palmaris longus tendon. In terms of range of motion, know that seasoned throwers may lack full extension. Be sure to evaluate the shoulder and the rest of the kinetic chain as well. Neurovascular assessment should evaluate for ulnar neuropathy and/or subluxation. Provocative tests to include on physical exam include the valgus stress test, the milking maneuver, and a moving valgus stress test. So in a valgus stress test, be sure to flex the elbow to 20 to 30 degrees, which unlocks the olecranon, and then externally rotate the humerus and apply valgus stress. This provocative test is 50% sensitive. The milking maneuver creates valgus stress by pulling on the patient's thumb with the forearm supinated and the elbow flexed at 90 degrees. The patient may be supine or seated / standing. A positive test in the milking maneuver is the subjective apprehension, instability, or pain at the MCL origin. Finally, in the moving valgus stress test, you will place the elbow in the same position as the milking maneuver and apply a valgus stress while the elbow is ranged through the full arc of flexion and extension. A positive test is a subjective apprehension, instability, or pain at the MCL origin between 70 and 120 degrees. The moving valgus stress test is 100% sensitive and 75% specific. Moving on to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and a lateral of the elbow. Know that static x-rays are often normal, however may show loose bodies or calcifications of the UCL. Optional views include oblique views to evaluate the olecranon, as well as a gravity or manual stress radiographs of both elbows, which may show medial joint line opening of greater than 3 millimeters, which is diagnostic. In terms of findings, be sure to assess for a posteromedial osteophyte due to valgus extension overload. An MRI is indicated when there is high suspicion for UCL injury and/or intraarticular pathology. An MR arthrogram is diagnostic, as the use of dye is more accurate. This has a sensitivity of 92% and a specificity of 100%. Findings include a thickened ligament from chronic injury, calcifications and tears, mid-substance tears or proximal / distal avulsions, full thickness or partial undersurface tears, and a capsular T sign with contrast extravasation. A dynamic ultrasound can evaluate laxity with valgus stress dynamically. Sensitivity and specificity is operator dependent. Moving on to the differential diagnosis for medial ulnar collateral ligament injury, the ones to know include medial epicondylitis, flexor pronator strain, ulnar neuropathy, and valgus extension overload, which we'll discuss in more detail in separate podcast episodes. Moving on to the treatment of medial ulnar collateral ligament injury, this can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative options include rest and physical therapy, which is indicated as first-line treatment in most cases, and for partial tears. As far as outcomes of non-operative management, know that there is a 42% return to pre-injury level of sporting activity at an average of 24 weeks. Operative options include a UCL anterior band ligament reconstruction, otherwise known as Tommy John surgery, and UCL repair. So in terms of UCL anterior band ligament reconstruction or Tommy John surgery, indications include high-level throwers that want to continue competitive sports and failed non-operative management in partial tears and a willingness to undergo extensive rehabilitation. In terms of outcomes, there is a 90% return to pre-injury levels of throwing with newer reconstruction techniques. Note that humeral docking is associated with better patient outcomes and lower complication rates compared to figure of eight fixation. Humeral docking has shown higher rates of return to sport compared to JOBE and modified JOBE techniques. Humeral docking and cortical button techniques are biomechanically stronger than figure of eight and interference screw fixation. Finally, humeral docking with interference screw fixation on the ulnar side showed 95% strength of the native UCL. Finally, as far as UCL repair, indications are not clarified in the literature and is mostly performed in young athletes with avulsion-type tear patterns. In terms of outcomes, these were originally performed with poor results and therefore has been largely replaced by reconstruction. Multiple recent case series, however, show promising results with novel augmented techniques. Now, let's go over some of these management techniques in a bit more detail. Starting with rest and physical therapy, the technique involves 6 weeks of cessation from throwing, and then you will initiate physical therapy for flexor pronator strengthening and improving throwing mechanics after 6 weeks and when symptoms/pain have resolved. These patients will have a progressive return to a throwing program. Moving on to a UCL anterior band ligament reconstruction, as a quick overview, there have been various modifications of the original JOBE technique that exists. All create an anatomic reconstruction of the native ligament from the medial epicondyle to the ulnar sublime tubercle. Know that none are stronger than the native ligament. In terms of the approach, the flexor pronator muscle splitting approach has decreased morbidity of historic flexor pronator mass detachment, and know that some surgeons elevate the flexor pronator mass when performing a modified JOBE technique. In terms of in situ ulnar nerve decompression, patients with preoperative ulnar nerve symptoms may be treated with isolated ulnar nerve decompression with or without transposition. Patients with ulnar nerve subluxation should be treated with ulnar nerve transposition. Finally, the UCL and joint capsule will be identified and the ligament will be repaired in a side-to-side fashion. In terms of soft tissue work, know that the palmaris longus autograft is the most common graft. However, you can use a gracilis autograft or allograft are also options. So for a palmaris longus autograft, you will use a single distal transverse incision centered over the palmaris. The tendon is identified and tagged with suture, and the underlying median nerve is protected. The tendon is followed proximally with an additional incision made centered over the tendon. Confirming enough length is obtained, the tendon is harvested and the wounds are closed. In terms of bony work and reconstruction, in the modified Job technique, you will have two connected bone tunnels made in the medial epicondyle of the humerus in a Y configuration. You can also use a single bone tunnel created by connecting two angled drill holes in the ulnar sublime tubercle. Alternatively, commercially available drill guides may be used. The graft is then passed through the ulnar tunnel, then graft ends through the humeral tunnels. The graft is sutured to itself in a figure of eight configuration. Note that extra strands may be added if the graft accommodates this. As far as the docking technique, a single bony socket is made in the medial epicondyle. A single bone tunnel is created by connecting two angled drill holes in the ulnar sublime tubercle. The graft is passed through the ulnar tunnel, the suture limbs are passed through two bone punctures, and the graft is shuttled into the humeral socket. Now the graft suture ends are tied over the bony bridge on the medial epicondyle. With respect to a hybrid interference screw technique, know that the docking tunnel slash socket is made on the humerus, and then a single longitudinal bone socket is made into the ulna with an interference screw fixation. This is felt to decrease the risk of iatrogenic fracture. Finally, a cortical suspensory fixation, for example, an endobutton reconstruction from Smith and Nephew, can be used on the ulna to stabilize the graft, however, is more commonly used in the revision setting. Early postoperative care involves early active wrist, elbow, and shoulder range of motion. You will also have incorporation of shoulder girdle, core, and hip strengthening exercises. Know that strengthening exercises begin at 4 to 6 weeks post-op. Midterm postoperative care involves initiating a progressive throwing program at 4 months and avoiding valgus stress until 4 months post-op. Patients typically return to competitive throwing at 9 to 12 months post-op. As far as a UCL repair, the approach is the same as for a UCL anterior band ligament reconstruction. As far as soft tissue work, you can do an ulnar nerve in situ release or transposition, and then the ligament is dissected and avulsion is identified. In terms of bony work, the ligament is sutured and secured to either the humerus or the ulna with the suture anchor. The repair can be augmented with high-strength suture. Postoperative care is similar to UCL reconstruction. Now, let's go over some complications. The ones to know include ulnar neuropraxia, which is the most common and has a 3 to 26% incidence, and the treatment will be observation as the majority resolve within a few months. Another complication can be a medial antibrachial cutaneous nerve injury, and know that the medial antibrachial cutaneous nerve crosses at the distal aspect of the incision. Another potential complication is fracture of the ulna or the medial epicondyle. Risk factors include a small bone bridge during tunnel placement, and as far as treatment, these patients may require internal fixation of the fracture or switch to a larger graft fixation device. Elbow stiffness is another potential complication, and risk factors include heterotopic ossification. Treatment is early directed therapy focusing on obtaining motion and HO excision around 6 months if it's still present. Finally, another complication is inability to regain pre-injury level of throwing ability. However, this is more common following revision reconstructions. As far as the prognosis of a medial ulnar collateral ligament injury, know that this was formerly a career-ending injury. However, UCL reconstruction provides high rates of return to throwing and sport. However, as we mentioned, there are worse outcomes following revision reconstructions. Outcomes and return to sport following surgical MUCL reconstruction or Tommy John surgery depend on precise recreation of the MUCL and diligent rehabilitation. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. First question. Which of the following statements most accurately describes the anatomy and kinematics of the elbow medial ulnar collateral ligament, or UCL? And the choices are 1. Anterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isometric strain pattern through elbow range of motion. 2 anterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isokinetic strain pattern through elbow range of motion. 3 posterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isometric strain pattern through elbow range of motion. 4 posterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isokinetic strain pattern through elbow range of motion. And 5 anterior band of the posterior bundle exhibits an isometric strain pattern through elbow range of motion. The correct answer to this question is 1. Anterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isometric strain pattern through elbow range of motion. So to quickly review, the elbow medial UCL is a ligamentous complex consisting of the anterior bundle, otherwise known as the anterior oblique ligament, the posterior bundle, or the posterior oblique ligament, and the transverse ligament. The anterior bundle provides the major contribution to valgus stability of the elbow. The anterior bundle is composed of an anterior band, posterior band, and oblique band. The anterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isometric strain pattern throughout elbow range of motion, while the posterior band of the anterior bundle tightens during elbow flexion. Jackson et al. Performed a cadaveric study to examine the functional characteristics of the anterior and posterior bands of the anterior bundle of the UCL. They reported that the posterior band demonstrated a linear increase in strain with increasing degrees of elbow flexion, while the anterior band demonstrated isometric strain throughout range of motion. They concluded that since both the anterior and posterior band show similar strain in a load-to-failure model, it is the insertion point, not the intrinsic differences of the bands, which determines the function of the anterior bundle of the UCL. Calloway et al. Performed a cadaveric study to determine the role of the medial collateral ligament under valgus loading. They demonstrated that the medial UCL was composed of anterior, posterior, and transverse bundles. The anterior bundle further composed of anterior and posterior bands that tightened in reciprocal fashion as the elbow was flexed and extended. They concluded that the anterior bundle was the major restraint to valgus instability, and as such, reconstructive procedures should focus on anatomical reproduction of the anterior bundle. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 2, anterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isokinetic strain pattern through elbow range of motion, is incorrect, as the anterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isometric, not isokinetic, strain pattern. Answer 3, posterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isometric strain pattern through elbow range of motion, and answer 4, posterior band of the anterior bundle exhibits an isokinetic strain pattern through elbow range of motion are both incorrect, as the posterior band of the anterior bundle undergoes increase in strain and tension during elbow flexion. Finally, answer 5, anterior band of the posterior bundle exhibits an isometric strain pattern through elbow range of motion is incorrect, as the posterior bundle of the medial UCL does not subdivide into bands like the anterior bundle. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following structures is the most important static stabilizer to valgus forces in a throwing athlete? And the choices are 1, anterior band of the anterior bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament. 2, posterior band of the anterior bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament. 3, posterior bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament. 4, transverse bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament. And 5, flexor pronator mass. The correct answer to this question is 1, anterior band of the anterior bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament. So the anterior band of the anterior bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament of the elbow provides the primary restraint to valgus stress. To quickly review, valgus stability of the elbow is primarily provided by the UCL, with the radiocapitellar joint acting as a secondary stabilizer, and the flexor pronator mass is a dynamic stabilizer. The UCL is divided into 3 components, which include the anterior bundle of the UCL, the posterior bundle of the UCL, and the transverse ligament. The anterior oblique ligament is divided into the anterior band, which is the most important valgus stabilizer and is taut from 0 to 85 degrees of flexion, and the posterior band, which is taut from 55 degrees of flexion. The posterior oblique ligament is more important for valgus stability with elbow flexion greater than 90 degrees. The transverse ligament does not provide any significant stability to the elbow joint. Safran reviewed the diagnosis and treatment of UCL injuries. The author described the ulnar collateral ligament to be divided into 3 groups, of which the anterior band of the UCL being the most important valgus stabilizer, which is most taut for 0 to 85 degrees of flexion. The author concluded that the ulnar collateral ligament can be commonly injured, but may not present with gross laxity or instability, which should prompt a thorough evaluation. Safran et al. Also reviewed the diagnosis and treatment of UCL injuries of the elbow. The authors stated athletes who participate in overhead motion that imparts valgus stress to the elbow are at risk for injury due to repetitive micro tears and can lead to ulnar nerve symptoms, flexor pronator strain, radiocapitellar joint compression, and loose bodies. They concluded that a high index of suspicion should be present when a throwing athlete presents with symptoms potentially attributable to UCL insufficiency. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 2, the posterior bundle of the UCL does provide valgus stability of the elbow, but does not become taut until 55 degrees of flexion. Answer 3, the posterior oblique ligament provides valgus stability of the elbow beyond 90 degrees of flexion. Answer 4, the transverse ligament originates and inserts on the ulna, and as such does not provide any significant stability. And finally, answer 5, the flexor pronator mass is an important dynamic stabilizer of the elbow, but does not contribute to static stability of valgus stress in a throwing athlete. And moving on to the final question, during which phase of the overhead throwing cycle is a baseball pitcher most likely to rupture the medial ulnar collateral ligament complex of the elbow? And the choices are 1, follow through, 2, ball release, 3, early acceleration, 4, early cocking, and 5, windup. The correct answer to this question is 3, early acceleration. So the medial UCL is subjected to near-failure tensile stresses during the late cocking slash early acceleration phase of throwing. The medial ulnar collateral ligament or medial collateral ligament of the elbow is composed of 3 bundles, an anterior bundle, a posterior bundle, and a variable transverse oblique bundle. The anterior bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament is the primary restraint to valgus force of the elbow from 30 to 120 degrees of flexion. Biomechanical testing has shown that valgus forces as high as 64 Newton meters at the elbow during late cocking and early acceleration phases of throwing, with compressive forces of 500 Newtons at the lateral radiocapitellar articulation as the elbow moves from 110 to 20 degrees of flexion and velocities as high as 3,000 degrees per second. That's all for this review about medial ulnar collateral ligament injury. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.